Welcome into a new Buff Stampede Radio. Adam Ostertiger, the publisher of BuffStampede.com, joined by our senior staff writer, Sean Niehoffen. It's official, man. We're moving on three. A lot of thought went into this, not a little or some. A lot of thought went into this. And so BuffStampede.com, I want to thank CBS Sports for the last decade and previously to that, the previous 13 years were spent on Yahoo/Rivals. And I don't want to get into like negative thoughts, but I want to highlight the positives of On3 going forward. We were walking back to the parking garage after a CU football game late in the season, and I kind of let you know what was going on. I'm curious what your initial thoughts were.
I'm just excited about it, to be honest. I've been with you now through three or more of these moves, these changes, and everyone seems to be for the benefit of the subscribers at the end of the day. So as this industry continues to evolve and new platforms emerge and you have talent and tools and resources that are being developed on new platforms, it seems like every time we've made these moves, it's been beneficial. I know it's always difficult for people and to kind of uproot where you're at. And change is not always easy, but at the end of the day, it seems to be a good thing. And I think the people and the resources that they're developing at On3 is moving kind of towards that next iteration of college football coverage, right? And a lot more transfer portal coverage and ranking. It kind of feels like if you're not staying in front of all that, you're quickly left behind. So I think it's going to be a good move for yourself, but also for all the subscribers. Then hopefully they all follow us over and come be a part of it.
That'd be awesome. Hoping for that. And I understand everybody's going to make their own individual decision. But again, a lot of thought went into this. There's going to be an On3 app, whether you're an Android user or you have an iPhone, you can download that. You can access the message board very quickly. And if you're an annual On3 subscriber, you actually get access, a free subscription to The Athletic. So you get all of their coverage, which is as these newspapers keep dying, this is a lot of where the writing talent goes. You mentioned the transfer portal. Hayes Fawcett, he just was like breaking news left and right. I mean, whether it's from the portal situation, guys entering, committing, from recruiting shortlists. I mean, he's the guy that these guys reach out to. And I'm 46. I'm not going to give out your age. You're similar. But that stuff matters nowadays, having somebody on the network that can really produce news and really connect with the
Absolutely.
recruits the way he can.
No, absolutely. I think other than the fact that there's going to be a brief transition period getting used to new platform to new ways to access information, I really don't see a negative at all from a site perspective. The coverage is great. So much great talent has already moved from various sources over to On3. And so they're really putting together a top-notch staff at both the individual sites but also the national level. So it seems to be I'm excited about it. Looking forward to it.
Awesome. And we've got our team together, but before I get into that, Brandon Huffman, Greg Biggins, Steve Wiltfong, Adam Gourney, Alan Trio, Chris Lowe from the national recruiting side, Pete Nakos, Andy Staples, Brett McMurphy, Ari Wasserman. Those are just some of the people that On3 has brought on board. And with our site, so you're going to get their coverage, but you're going to get Sean's takes during the season. You're going to get William Gardner's hot takes. You're going to get we've got a new roundtable feature coming out with Leo Rivera. That's going to be a lot of fun on the
That's going to be
website,
very fun.
kind of pulling all of our thoughts together. Of course, Will Burnett, our Buffs in the NFL guy, that we're going to try to find an expanded role for, and certainly couldn't leave out Dane Barron, who has done a great job moderating the message board for over 20 years, and just such a great guy. And Oliver Hayes, last but not definitely not least,
Not least.
our beloved beat writer for basketball. He's going to come over, and so excited for that as well. But folks tuned in not to hear about politics and where websites are moving, but for Colorado, and their spring ball is going to start on Monday. So an earlier spring ball start. First off, before we get to spring ball, Sean, I got to know, how did you decompress after 3-9 covering all those games?
So, really, it's been, lately has been a bit of a whirlwind for me, but I really just turned off CU and football in a large part, at the end of the season. So, did not, I was probably less involved in bowl season this year than I've been in years past. Watched a lot of the bigger games and some of the playoff stuff, but really didn't get too deep into it. Just kind of took a break from all that. I think I came back and followed the transfer portal news over those couple of weeks for a little bit, and kind of looked at some film and did some things and put my two cents in here or there. But for a large, for the most part, I just really stepped back away from all of it and focused on doing a lot of those things that you don't get done during the season with travel and coverage of stuff and how, I think people don't realize how time consuming it is for, for you especially, but to be involved with this. So just stepped back, took care of some things around the house, some family things, got some much needed rest, took care of some year-end business things, and then kind of kicked off, 2026 from all of those perspectives with some new juice. And then the last week or two, I've been kind of diving back in, catching myself up on some more of the details and what's happening with CU in terms of their kickoff to the off-season program, some analysis of some of the players that they brought in that maybe I didn't follow as closely, but also the recruiting aspects too. So it's been fun, and it seems like I'm more reinvigorated to jump back into it now that we're hitting spring. And I think you see that out of the media that's been put out already in the early going, that with Prime back in, kind of full swing for this spring and kicking everything off, there seems to be, a lot of renewed energy. So really looking forward to seeing how it all plays out.
Yeah, it's kind of looking forward. Like I want to spend time reminiscing about the 25 season, but then I think, no, I really don't. But
Right.
it's time to move on. And
Absolutely.
like you said, it feels a little different. you kind of put up you try to take the blinders off, I feel like, after 3-9 of like, okay, there was not bad footage coming out of the weight room last off season. So what am I looking at here? Okay, Coach Prime is more involved, definitely more with handpicking some of these guys, and knock on every piece of wood that's out there that he gets through this off season in great health, and he definitely deserves this off season to be able to do that. Is there a storyline going into these spring practices following what we saw last year with Coach Prime being a little bit more involved that kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, I think it dovetails right off of that, that whole conversation. I think that we've talked about it at different points that probably a lot of the shortcomings last year, there were a lot of issues in the locker room. There were a lot of stat or a lot of player issues, but a lot of that seemed to really stem from the fact that there wasn't a whole lot of continuity and leadership coming out of the staff. And so I think they were just, they had a lot of seniors. They were mostly transfers, but a lot of seniors on staff, and they were just hoping and counting on those players to kind of provide the leadership. And I'm not sure that they, again, with all the off-season issues, that they were vetted quite the way they needed to be. And part of that's learning experiences, right? I mean, this is still a relatively young staff, Coach Prime included, that has not been around for 20 years and moving through the coaching ranks. So you kind of have to look at it from that perspective and understand that that while there are high expectations, especially with the financial incentives, the remuneration that's there with the staff, that you also have to look at kind of that where they're at from a developmental perspective. And that's what I'm looking at, in terms of my storyline for spring is the coaching staff development. We've got some new coaches on staff. There's still some continued build out that needs to happen. I think everybody knew that those changes, needed to be made. And really, where does all that come in with developing some secondary leadership on the coaching staff that can fill the void if and when a Coach Prime's not around? Who can really, steer the ship and step up and make sure that everybody's doing what they need to do? And where do things, appear to be from not only the team building, family building, perspective, but from a real teaching and coaching, perspective? Because I think there were some big red flags that came up last year on both of those sides, in terms of a, void of leadership, when he was not around, but also some real, head scratchers when it came down to what was being taught and what was being coached from a real technical, and focus perspective, as well as some issues that it seemed like, guys, it seemed like in a lot of times, guys were watching film to watch film and to put in hours and weren't necessarily getting anything out of it, which kind of leads you to question what's being done from that respect when you're together as a group and you're watching film with the coaches. Are these guys really learning how to interpret what they're looking at and make use of it? So that's my big thing for this year is how does all that play out? Because I think that's just the foundational pieces of being able to put a team together, both with cohesion, but also with some game plan and some direction.
And certainly Brendan Marion and his go-go offense and how that is implemented this spring is going to be a big storyline. I would
Absolutely.
imagine if you go out to Folsom Field on April 11th, though, and you're trying to see a lot of different tricks here and there, probably going to be disappointed because you got to hold that under wraps when you have people in the stands. The other big storyline, of course, is Julian Juju Lewis in terms of what development has taken place since that start out in Morgantown and his late season flashes that looked very promising, and we saw some development from his maturity. He was not ready at the beginning of the season. he looked pretty darn ready by the end of it.
Yeah. And I think that, that's going to be one of the key things. I'm really excited. And sorry, I've been battling a sinus infection. My eyes are kind of watery. But I'm really excited that they've got a quarterback coach on staff. And I know all these guys have their own personal coaches at this point. But I think it's really important to have somebody that's working with these guys through with a mindset toward the specific scheme and offenses and what the staff, especially Marion, wants Juju to do. So I think between, Marion himself and then having a quarterback coach on staff, I like that aspect. And I expect, expect to see a jump, from Juju, but I also expect to see, probably an increase in mistakes. Cause I think what happens a lot of times is as you get into that second year as a starter, and granted he didn't have a full year, but, you start to become a little more comfortable in what you're running. It's, I've had a full off season, in this offense, the new offense. So I think, you're probably going to see a big jump in the numbers he's putting up, and this offense is designed to do that. But you're probably going to see a more aggressive Juju, which at times is going to lead to some of those mistakes, some of those sophomore slump type issues, that you get. So I'm expecting a mixed bag, but with an overall, positive arc from him. And the other big thing that I'm looking for and hoping, because I don't think it comes real naturally to him, is that we see, a demonstrable improvement, increase in his leadership, his vocal leadership, his doing the right things off the field, but also being a guy that the team can rally around. So it's just going to be fun to watch him, develop and grow. And hopefully we get a few more years of just seeing him continue an upward arc.
And as Ben Finneseth said during their spring game draft, y'all messed up by not taking Julian first. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder now. So that should be fun to see as well. Yeah, I guess, this is such a bottom line industry nowadays. Yep. In this NIL era. I would say, ranking the top half of the Big 12 in quarterback rating, get Colorado to a bowl game. To me, that's a successful redshirt freshman season for Julian Lewis. Well, sure. What do you think about that?
No, I agree, and I think as Julian goes, so the team goes to a large respect. You can There's so many questions around this team, and I think the team absolutely, we'll talk about this later, I'm sure, but the team absolutely has to figure out how to get to a bowl game this year. But a lot of that's going to be driven by, his ability to lead the offense in that direction. So it's, and I fully expect that. I think we saw that he has the tools, and that's not a question mark. So we, it's going to come down to what happens in front of him. I think there's always been a little bit of question just from a size perspective in the back of people's minds about whether or not, or how durable he is. Just not the biggest quarterback ever. But, to see him go through that, and I do think that the floor, has to be six games. But it's just going to be, I think it's going to be a lot of highs and a few more lows than we saw as he figures out how to balance aggressiveness and taking what's there with kind of not taking too many chances and putting himself and putting the ball in jeopardy.
Chicken bacon ranch street chalupas and a chicken bacon ranch nacho fry option at Taco Bell. This is Taco Bell at it again with the best innovation in the industry. And now they are combining their savory slow roasted chicken inside a cult classic format with their new limited time only chicken bacon ranch street chalupas. Get your set of two street sized chalupa shells filled with slow roasted chicken, flavorful bacon, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded cheese, and avocado ranch sauce. And this is a chalupa shell that is coated with cheddar. So you can't go wrong here. Taco Bell isn't just limiting this Americana flavor combination to its street chalupa format, but why not get this pairing on Taco Bell's iconic nacho fries? These loaded fries deliver everything you love about nacho fries, but also leveled up with slow roasted chicken, bacon, nacho cheese, pico de gallo, and avocado ranch sauce. And don't forget to add one of the new items from the Taco Bell Lux Value Menu. With 10 items for $3 or under, the Lux Value Menu at Taco Bell delivers bold, irresistible flavor and crave-worthy items at unbelievable prices. Nobody delivers everyday value and supports your hometown teams like Taco Bell. Live Moss at Taco Bell. Which returning player are you most anxious to hear about their performance and the progress they've made since last season?
So what are there, like three or four?
There's not a lot, but there's enough names out there.
There are. I think offensively, the one guy that I think is just a natural good fit for this offense. So on that side of the ball that I'm looking forward to seeing is DeKalen Taylor. Mm-hmm. I think he could do some big things in this offense, and he had such a great start, you know, to last season too, before he got hurt. So he's the guy that I'm interested to see offensively and how it plays out. Defensively, I mean, gosh, there's so few guys coming back on the defensive side of the ball that have really, you know, either shown a lot of flashes or had much playing time. So I think maybe by default, just because he looks the part and it's an area of need, and I would like to see, you know, to see him have some success, is maybe a guy like Kylan Salter. And just kind of seeing if he can, you know, if he can start to produce, you know, in a manner that, you know, that both is beneficial to the team, but also kind of matches, that eyeball test that, you know, kind of one of the first guys off the bus sort of guy, can you put some performance to that? But from returning guys, those were the two that, you know, just immediately kind of jumped out to me.
Yeah, I like it. I've said to DeKalen Taylor in some podcasts, I got into a pretty deep discussion with William on our last podcast about Philip Houston, and just of mm-hmm. a guy that could really, he could go out there, start however many games they play this year, and potentially be, you know, a kind of an outside. He wouldn't be an all-conference pick initially going in, but it could be a guy that really surprises people. There was a lot of buzz with him in the program, but injuries have just kind of kept him from being able to be a full participant. And I thought he was pretty darn good late in that 24 season. So that's a guy I would put on defense or on offense. On defense, RJ Johnson.
Yeah.
You know, this is a staff that if they didn't think that RJ Johnson had potential as a cornerback, he's not still around at this point.
True.
And he was one of those three guys that was doing the spring game draft. I don't know. I'm certainly not setting all conference expectations on him, but he was somebody that was drawing some buzz last year. You've got a whole nother offseason. You look back to last year, you can make an argument. He played right before he got hurt about as well as any cornerback did for a brief stretch. It was a very brief stretch.
Yep. Well, there were things to like about, you know, about his game. I think, you know, unfortunately, so that position just the attrition was, you know, was so high. And so aside from DJ McKinney and then later in the season, help me out. Who was the opposite corner?
McCurry Vickers.
No, after Vickers, after Vickers kind of went out. Well, I don't know why I'm drawing a blank now.
Ivan Yates.
Yes, Ivan Yates.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the guy that nobody really expected anything out of, and I was actually impressed with him. I mean,
he played better than I expected, for sure.
Yeah, but aside from those two, I mean that there was such a limited sample size from anybody. So there were some flashes, and you could see, potentially why there was some buzz about him. So yeah, it's I just think that the whole defense is in such, such flux and turnover this year, that I think there are battles at every single position, and nobody really knows what we've got at a lot of those spots. So it just was hard for me to come up with really somebody who had, who had shown us a little bit, but maybe not enough to feel great about yet.
What about the newcomers? Who are you most anxious to hear about this spring?
Well, can I cheat and just use my last answer? Everybody on the
Yeah.
defense?
Well, my answer was going to be both Nickelbacks because Preston Ashley and Boo Carter have me excited for different reasons. And I'm a little
Absolutely.
apprehensive because of one has the youth inexperience, the other has some of this checkered past stuff from Tennessee, but the talent in that room, that Nickelback group, is going to be pretty special, I think.
Yeah, and I kind of did the same thing because, while I was saying everybody on defense, I really just kind of looked at it and said there are individual players and or battles that I'm just really excited to see, for all along the defense, and so in the on the back end, the two names that I had were the same. It was Boo Carter and Preston Ashley, and I think Boo, because of all the potential he's got, and he could really be something special if he can just get everything else off the football field straightened out and kind of get his mind in the right spot and move forward. And Preston Ashley, he just has so many intangibles, and he's already, in this very first spring, seems to be kind of establishing himself as a leader, not just in his group and not just with the freshmen, but with in the overall defensive room and with the team. So I just have this feeling that he's going to be a kid that just comes out, sees a lot of playing time as a freshman, and really just kind of sets the stage for himself. Excited for the linebacker group. It's still a lot of question marks, but I like the guys that they brought in, and especially Gideon Lamprum. The more film I've watched on him, he's a little undersized. He's one of those guys that just, from a physical standpoint, he's not going to jump off the screen at you. But then when you watch him play and the way he diagnoses, and his ability to fill quickly, but also still get to sideline to sideline, and just the motor he plays with, and he plays much bigger than his size. So he's a guy that I'm really excited to see emerge from that. Probably my favorite player on the defense, and this is going to come down to the coaching staff and their ability to use him, but is going to be Santana Hopper. He's undersized, and there's a lot of question marks about his ability to kind of step up in class and perform at this level. But he's another one where watching film, he's done it at every level. That he's been at. He's very disruptive. I think one of the question marks though is that, and again, I'm forgetting the guy's name, but we brought in a transfer defensive lineman back in 24 that had a very similar game, and he was undersized, and he just never really played. There was a lot of buzz about him, ahead of time, but the staff couldn't seem to figure out a scheme that really allowed for that three technique to play in the backfield and not necessarily engage offensive linemen. And so I think they've got to figure out how to use him and use his skill set, because if they're asking him to occupy blockers, that's not what he's going to be effective at. And it's going to look like a bad pickup. But I'm really excited if they can figure out how to use him. And then I have really no idea who's going to emerge, but I'm really excited to see all the newcomers at the edge. I mean, it's such a deep group that they brought in. There seems to be a lot of production and talent at, you know, again, mostly at lower levels, but guys that play with motors, guys that play with a lot of heart and really are hungry for the opportunity to step up and in class and prove themselves. And so I'm really excited to watch all of those guys and kind of see who emerges.
One interesting note in there is that Quincy Wiggins was drafted by the defensive line group. So it sounds like he's going to stay in that role like he was
On the
playing a lot of
interior.
three technique, yeah, last year. I don't know if that's the best spot for him, but it's tough, Sean, to pull in talented defensive tackles. From the high school ranks, from the portal. I mean, that's there's a reason that Utah won and had so much success in the Pac-12 all those years. Like it is the hardest position to recruit. And so I think he can be serviceable in there.
No, absolutely. And that's, you know, and that's still one of my areas of biggest question mark too, is because I think much like Santana Hopper, he's a guy who, you know, he's not going to be your biggest, you know, 300-pound, 310-pound, you know, interior defensive lineman. And being an edge player, you know, up until now, I think he's going to be a guy who, like, you know, like Santana, needs to be able to use his athleticism, and some of those, you know, some of those tricks and skills that you have off the edge in terms of battling with interior alignment, but being disruptive, and getting behind, you know, getting behind the offensive line, getting in the backfield and creating problems. And that seems to be where there's been a challenge, both with, you know, schematically for Livingston, but I think also in terms of what some of the defensive line coaches have really wanted out of their group over the past 2 years. And so without really knowing, you know, what that, you know, what the coaching on the interior defensive line is going to look like as they find that guy and it plays out, plus, you know, the scheme things, I think that's really one of the areas that I'm interested to watch. That we may not get a ton of answers out of in the spring, but you know, as we get into fall camp and that position coach is solidified and you know we move down that road, really, how does, you know, what's the philosophy and how's that all going to shake out?
Great stuff, Sean. I was going to ask you about the schedule and early year thought on what would make a successful 2026 season. Let's sit on that for now. Let's
Okay.
come back because I think we've got to digest a lot of stuff here in the coming weeks, and we're going to maybe have it with a little bit more of a, I wouldn't say a pessimistic lens, but one where you try to vet stuff as best you can, right? Going into the
Right.
spring
No.
ball.
Absolutely. And I think that's I almost feel like I don't feel like there's a ton of pessimism you know out there. I think there are guys, you know, some people are pessimistic about it because it, you know, either the names aren't big enough or it's a, you know, very much a show me situation until I see it happen. I'm not going to believe it can. But I kind of look at this, you know, for most people, myself and you included, you know, as we've talked through this, it's more of a pragmatic offseason. You know, I think everybody's we're not too gung ho off of, you know, the results from last year and some big names and stars and everything else attached to this offseason. But, you know, it's also it doesn't feel to me like we're mired in a 3-9 you know ongoing framework. I mean, it feels like they've addressed a lot of stuff. I like some of the direction they've taken. I like a lot of the players they've brought in. But now it's up to, you know, but being pragmatic about it, now there is a bit of, okay, let's see what you can do with it. Can you put it together? Can you make it work? Can you form something that, you know, where the sum of the parts is greater than the individual pieces, right? And so that's what we're all looking forward to, and we'll probably think we have a few of those questions answered in a few weeks, but more than likely, you know, we're really not going to know this for several months, so.
Yeah, we'll get to the spring game on April 11th and think we've got all the answers, and then we'll get to the season opener, think we got all the answers, and then they'll go on the road, and some things will hold true and some things won't. And that is the nature of covering a college football program. Sean, always appreciate your analysis, and excited for this move to On3, and thanks for making the move with us.
Absolutely. No place I'd rather be.
Awesome. Thanks everybody out there for tuning in.